This is the last in a three-part series focused on the problem of maternal mortality in the US. We have looked at the nature of the problem.
In the US, every 12 hours, a woman dies due to complications resulting from pregnancy. Additionally, two babies die each day.
We've also looked at some of the root causes.
The elephant in the room, relevant to the United States, is the context of political determinants of health and social determinants of health, upstream drivers that are driven by the fundamental structures in America that were built to have a separate and equal society.
It's multi-layered. It's not a simple problem that just came about in the last few years.
We have looked at case studies or individual women's stories showing how seemingly healthy women can have sudden developments leading to a near fatal health outcome.
She didn't think I had much longer, and she wanted me to have an opportunity to at least have a picture with my daughter.
I couldn't hear anything. I don't know how long I was out, but when I came back to, the room was full of doctors and nurses. The defibrillator was right next to me, so they used the paddles.
We heard about the trauma that often doesn't have a name.
I think even when you think about moving the needle, and particularly with people that are most at risk, it's also finding a way to do it either by using language that they use or using lay language so that they understand what you're talking about if you're going to move the needle.
When looking at solutions, we hear about the importance of addressing root causes through community-based organizations, proper health insurance, flexible patient-led care through doulas, midwives, and education.
Why is it that $200 billion is invested and there is no evidence for gap closure?
Now we will look further, speaking to experts outside the US about what works well and what doesn't in those countries. We will hear about the importance of cultural sensitivity when importing norms from one place into another, and how easy it is for something to get lost in translation. Tech and digital health has the power to make patients visible and can take these cases out of the shadows, exposing the gaps and forcing us to see them. And if we see them, we might close them.
In this last part of our three-part series, we look around the world at the developments in maternal mortality, and we see if we can learn lessons from there as to whether improvements have been witnessed. We ask why disparities are existing and what tech and other advances can mean to make global advances in this respect. We heard from Yele Aluko in the first two podcasts of this series. He hails from Nigeria. We asked him to share his experience of some of the African countries when it comes to maternal mortality.
Maternal mortality rates in Africa diverge widely. Mauritius has one of the lowest mortality rates in Africa. It's 42 deaths per 100,000. And similarly, Seychelles is 47 per 100,000. Nigeria's 512 deaths per 100,000. All these data from the World Bank. Now, fundamentally, agnostic of country, if the fundamental structures that build efficient healthcare systems are weak or lacking, superimpose that on different demographics and socioeconomic status, vulnerable populations emerge. And those populations are the ones that will fare the worst, even calibrated within a lower middle income country that doesn't have the industrialization as in the OECD countries. So you have exponentially worse outcomes in places in Asia, in Africa, in South America. Within those continents, there are some best practices, and those are driven by health policy, accountability, more focus on population health, richer countries in those continents, and accountability.
Noah Hirsch is an experienced healthcare director, nurse, and business leader based in Israel, but originally from the US. In her LinkedIn bio, she invites us to find her at the intersection of innovation, entrepreneurship, and women's health. And she is passionate about nursing, innovation, and leadership. I asked her to describe the healthcare in Israel and how it relates to maternal health.
You even get a grant from the government when you give birth, a small grant to help you pay for baby expenses. And there is a lot of emphasis on cultural competency. If you live in an area where there are predominantly Muslim people or Arab speakers, then you will have Arab-speaking nurses. The same will happen if you live in an area where there is predominantly what we call Haredi, ultra-Orthodox people. They often speak another language called Yiddish, and you will have that level of cultural competency. So I think the experience is actually really excellent.
I then asked her to compare the US to Israel. Whereas in the US, we have the concept of maternity deserts. In Israel, a much more densely populated country, they have the concept of cultural deserts when it comes to disparities in maternal health care.
Growing up in the United States and comparing it to what I see here, you can't really compare. There's just absolute access and it's equal across the board. So that's, I think, basically the main sort of experience. There are some differences, but again, I always say the differences are between the haves in Israel and the rest of the people. Like sometimes people will say, I had to wait 3 weeks to get an appointment with the obstetrician. Yes, you did, but everybody did. And in the United States, yes, I don't have to wait at all, but I'm part of the 1%. And the other people aren't seeing an obstetrician at all. And so there's a very different level of equality. The only area, right, we talk in the United States about these deserts of access, 50% of counties that don't have a single obstetrician. So we don't have that problem in Israel. We do have a little bit of what I would call like cultural deserts. And that's various cultures who place a different emphasis on prenatal care or healthcare for women in general. And there, it's not that there isn't the access, right? They have the same healthcare funds, but it's not culturally accepted to seek prenatal care. It's frowned upon by their communities, by their religious leaders. Our deserts are cultural. And they're not physical. So if you lived in an area, for example, where most people didn't seek care, you could travel a very short physical distance and still get it just because it's not available in your area because nobody's using it. So those are our deserts, I guess you could say.
Noah, can you talk about some of the technological advances that you've seen that can make a difference in healthcare outcomes?
I was even part of a startup in the United States called Antidote, and I was responsible for building the women's health platform. So it's absolutely possible in the same way that you and I are talking, you could have nurses, obstetric nurses who are doing a triage based on the patient's risk levels. There are studies that show that actually for a low risk pregnancy, patients don't even need to see an obstetrician at any point. You can do it all through telehealth. And so if that was available and accessible, then that's absolutely something that could be done. Access to information. At what point do you seek care, right? If everybody's low risk and you're not experiencing symptoms, could you send your urine testing? Absolutely. The product exists for that already. Could you do a urine test and then send it off? And if there's something abnormal, only then seek treatment? Absolutely. Could you be using remote ultrasound machines to do an ultrasound? You can put the probe on your stomach and it's read by somebody 10,000 miles away can tell you move it to the left, move it to the right. You can do the same thing for fetal heartbeats. You can do all of these things remotely. Some of them are a greater cost. Some of them aren't even that expensive to do. Even the idea of consulting with a bot, which is a product that I built, consulting with a bot to figure out where you need some kind of care and what to do next and what tests do you need. All of that can be done remotely.
And what about in the delivery phase, as well as the postpartum phase? These would maybe be more physical areas where physical attendance is necessary. Have you seen any solutions that can work there when it comes to technology?
So in terms of innovations at the delivery phase, based on what we use in Israel, we're still using midwives, right? We have midwives who deliver the bulk of babies here. Physicians are generally only called in if there's a problematic birth. So most simple, easy vaginal deliveries are handled by midwives. It's funny, we always joke, we don't actually use a lot of technology at the actual delivery. In Israeli hospitals, we always say that like it's the most profitable procedure a hospital can perform because there's very little technology. We use a fetal monitor during the birth until a certain point when the head descends and you can't actually hear it anymore. We use ultrasound. So we're not using anything crazy technology, the postpartum period. So screening for postpartum depression, for example, we in Israel, same thing. We have these healthcare funds and we have what we call tipat chalav, which actually means a drop of milk in Hebrew. And they were clinics that got started over 100 years ago with the idea of giving out a little bit of milk to babies. This is when babies were suffering from vitamin D deficiencies and all these sort of things. And that was the nurse's job. And the clinic continued because it became sort of like nurses that went door to door and were well-informed on who was being born and what to do. So we still have those clinics. I actually did work in one for 3 years. And how did we screen for postpartum depression? We use the same Edinburgh postnatal depression scale that's used everywhere, which isn't necessarily culturally relevant in Israel, right? There are cultural differences. We're a much more demonstrative society than, let's say, the Scottish, where this was developed. I know of one product being developed. It's still in development. There's a company called Haplomind based out of Switzerland, where they are using voice recognition to screen for postnatal depression, which is absolutely brilliant. The founder is Sonali Quantius, and that to me is amazing. Like basically what they're trying to set up is a product where you record something every day, whether it's how often you fed your baby or diapers, but what it's actually listening for is voice recognition to detect depression. And it's in the testing. It's in definitely in beta phase. I know they're doing it in India, Switzerland, a few other places. So that technology would be amazing because we definitely miss a lot of postpartum depression, mostly because we're using a screening tool that A, isn't culturally relevant everywhere, and B, it's archaic, really. Like, how many times did you cry? Well, I'm in the middle of a war right now, so I'm crying all the time, you know? And so that's not a relevant tool, I think. In the birth side, we are seeing a lot of sort of algorithms and tools to try and determine who, for example, is eligible for a VBAC, we call, right? A vaginal birth after cesarean. So there are tools for that. You can use, I'm trying to think like other ones, post-birth that we use or during the birth, various monitoring at home. So you don't come in too early. We know patients who come into the hospital too early are more likely to end up with C-sections. We don't use them as much now, but ways to check if you're leaking amniotic fluid, those kind of pads that people can use at home, AmniSense. That's a technology I think that we can definitely keep people out of hospital earlier. It's funny, in Israel, we try to keep them out and not bring them in too early, whereas in other places, we want them to come in sooner. So those, I think, are a lot of the technologies that I can think of in that area. In terms of supporting breastfeeding, we see a lot of apps, for sure, that are trying to encourage that. And alongside those, there is also sort of more maternal support, which also prevents and identifies postpartum depression.
And let's pull the lens back. Do you think there's a broader problem of women's healthcare being underrepresented more generally?
It's definitely underrepresented. For example, when I worked for this startup in the women's health, the last thing we were going to touch was obstetrics. And the reason is because I'm sure it's underfunded for the same reasons, which is the medical legal aspect, right? We know that the vast majority of medical malpractice cases surround obstetrics, to the point that this is also a contributing factor to why there are not enough obstetricians in the United States. I personally know plenty of OBGYNs who've dropped it and just do gynecology and don't do obstetrics. And that is also a fear in developing a lot of this technology and why we still are using, like, you know, I always say, I trust a person with white hair's hands over an ultrasound any day. I just thought of another company that's just getting started, called Shela Health, based here in Israel as well. And Shela, which in Hebrew means hers, but Shela Health is also trying to analyze data to make it more personalized. And the first area that they've chosen to focus on is gestational diabetes, which is the number one maternal complication in pregnancy, right? I think it's up to about 8% of people who are pregnant have gestational diabetes. And so what they're trying to use is the data to figure out who needs to get screened versus who doesn't need to get screened, and who needs to consider treatment earlier versus not. Even if you have gestational diabetes, who is at risk of having a negative outcome for the fetus versus not? So that technology is also being developed in terms of personalizing care. And their plan is to personalize essentially the whole obstetrics journey. So that's there. And they are going to run into the same, you know, medical legal complications that I think everybody trying to enter this sphere is going to run into.
How does this area differ from other areas of medicine in terms of the pace of delivery of care?
I think we hardly write any prescriptions. There's very little that I actually do other than explain things to patients. It's 95% education. And like one of our discharge boxes that we have to tick off is there's been a vast increase in the patient. There's been a moderate increase in the patient. There has been no, and I 99% of the time, there has been no increase in the patient's condition while they're with me between when they came and when they left. And that's never the case for anything else, right? You come in pain, we fix it. You come in with a broken bone, we fix it. You come in with cancer, we try and fix it. You come in pregnant or whatever, and we're like, we're together for 9 months and let's see how that works out. And even when the baby's born, you don't know that everything's okay. And there are still ramifications that can come after. So it's not high fast pace at all.
Maura Rosenfeld, who shared her insights in episode 1, also shares her views on technology.
I see change happening both on digital health, people looking for biomarkers. There's actually a startup company here called Sheila Health. It's run by my friend, Sharon Gottlieb-Handelman. They're looking at biomarkers that can indicate early detection of preeclampsia, other complications of pregnancy that could both endanger both the mother and the baby, of course.
She spoke to us about midwife care.
I'd never heard about a midwife. You know, I've been here for 30 years. I never heard of this idea of a midwife when I was in the United States. It is very common here, both to have a midwife and to use doula services. I think it definitely has an effect because, again, what are you looking at? You have a lot more communication, a better chance that someone's actually listening to you. If you feel something's wrong and you have a better chance, the more people you're meeting, the more that they're perhaps there to listen to you. I think the greater chances if something really is wrong that someone's going to take a look at it faster. And you hear even in the States, you know, I have friends who are Black women, but they're by no means poor, who went through horrible experiences, even though they had access to the best care. There's never a substitute for experience, but you still can't get all the data. Even if you're very experienced, there are things going on in someone's body that you're not going to be able to tell everything just by your experience. There are things that can be going on in a body that can change so quickly. You may notice it, but it may be very late. But I think the experiences you were mentioning in systems where there's both a midwife and perhaps also a doula, there are more people seeing what's happening. So it's more likely that someone's going to notice the distress or notice something else that's happening. Obviously, the more data we can have from within the body that helps you formulate a decision and say, I think this might be what's happening, let's see, and that you can have something to look at, that only makes it better. But you're right. I just think it's a lot of it is the involvement and communication and also more of the continuity as you go through the pregnancy. You can't say you're putting it on the patient, but I do think it really is important that women feel that they can speak up and they're not supposed to just suffer, because I think that's the message women get a lot.
Let's keep this conversation going. Let's share stories. Let's honor experiences, even those that are most traumatic. By recognizing these experiences, sharing them, and ensuring that the next generation of mothers and would-be mothers can be forewarned or can find solidarity in the conditions and developments that may be foreign to them. Let's open our minds to technology that can bridge the gap, and let's harness the power of technology and social media networks to spread knowledge and awareness. The show notes for this series contain links to organizations and advocacy groups that might help. Please write to us with more and spread the word.